So I wanted to ask you, don't jump too quickly by answering this. If you think I'm weird, don't jump.
Right. This is an easy answer for a very specific reason,
yes, not in general.
Do I ever tell to jump straight and go, yes, of course we do. So go swimming with tea a lot.
Right, okay.
Every week. And I didn't realise until this weekend, I don't cover myself when I'm changing.
So that's a really, really interesting point you bring up there, because I have to do completely the opposite. Because being the stepdad, I'm not comfortable, and to be honest, I wouldn't ever expect anyone to be comfortable with Kay seeing me walking around with my toddler out. So even at home, it's just like, to the shower, in my boxers, towel around me, door closed, and in the changing rooms, it's the same. But are you talking...
About cubicles. I'm not talking about cubicles.
Oh, my God.
I'm talking about an open room full of other men and their children.
And the swimming pool.
Yeah, they're all... Everyone's boys.
That's not strange. That's not strange. Being brought up in the 80s and 90s, and bearing in mind, even at schools before cubicles going to exist, that was absolutely standard. Everyone got changed. Everyone saw each other. And I also played cricket for a small period of time, which meant at the age of like 15, 16, I was stuck in a shower with great hulking drunk men having to shower off at the end of a match at the same time. So I don't think that's strange at all.
I'm the only one. All the other dads are like hiding away behind towels. It's like, Miranda says to me, it's like, oh, you must be comfortable with your body. It's like, I'm not particularly comfortable. You know, I've got the same hangouts as everybody else. But I just like, it's too much hassle to just be like hiding away behind
the towel. And you haven't got much to hide, let's
be honest. Exactly. I've only got a little flannel.
So yeah, you know, oh God. You know, I don't think that's strange at all. I absolutely, if it's me and T at swimming pool and that's going to be the case, I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with that at all. I don't know why people have become so shy over that. I mean, the only thing I don't like is, funny enough, some of the hair that I have on my body is like, I don't like it.
Yeah.
That's what puts me off. Not the fact that my todger's hanging out. That can, that, yeah, no. Also, by the way, we should also explain before we get into that, we have got a third host. We'll explain, we'll introduce him in a minute, I think. We'll do that. But I've got something to admit to as well before we start the episode properly. And I'm really toying with the idea of I'm going to have to edit my film list that we're talking about later to include this film at some point. I saw Rain Man for the first time the other day.
Oh, Rain Man's brilliant.
Yeah, I went for the entirety of my life up until this point thinking it was Tom Cruise was the one that was going to play Rain Man.
No, yeah.
And then it just kind of dawned on me.
That's a different film entirely.
It's a totally different film.
It just would never have worked. I mean, Dustin Hoffman, amazing actor. Don't get me wrong, absolutely amazing actor. Played the role so well. And I now kind of realise how stupid I was for thinking Tom Cruise might even be able to even vaguely pull this off.
Don't feel stupid, mate. I thought Red Knob Day was a real thing.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's... we'll explain that one to you after the show, Dan. Okay, right, let's get into the intro.
This is the show where three men still firmly believe we are in the glorious 80s and 90s. And today I'm Rob. Hello, Rob. I'm Rob.
And I'm Tom. And this is what happens when I don't write him down something to say. He runs out of things to say very quickly.
Yeah,
I'm Tom as normal. And we have a third host with us today. Our previous host from Three Dads, One Podcast, Dan. Say hello, Dan.
Hello, Dan. Yeah, first time on the new podcast. Looking forward to it, to judging what you've decided for your films.
Yeah, absolutely. And we basically come to Dan's business today, which is the Boot in Salisbury, Leighton Buzzard. He'll do an advert for it later, but this is where we come to play board games, especially Hero Quest at the moment. And yeah, so we have Dan on board with us today, and he's going to be playing a very big part in our film bit, because he's going to be judging who chose the best film. So very, very quickly, let's run through what we have today. Is a lot, so we are going to split this episode into two, because there's just way too much to do in one episode. So we're going to get through the following. We've got A, do you remember competition as normal? We've got some more Star Trek questions because Rob has caught up on Picard Season 3. I've got a very quick question about Top Gun and Hot Shots. And then we're going to get on with our main subject, which is going to be looking at our film lists. And you may have already read mine on the webpage, which gives you our favourite films by year since the year we were born. So let's go straight into Do You Remember? And just to recap the rules on that one, we basically pull something out of the bag and say, do you remember this? And if they do, we don't get a point. If they don't, we get a point. Extra rule we did think of was if the other person had never even heard of the item, so it was so beyond a regularly known thing, then that person just doesn't get that point. Because that's not a fair thing. I think you agree on that one, yeah. Don't you, Rob?
Yeah, we don't want to completely bamboozle the other person that much.
And I think we should also have a bonus point, whereas if Dan does not remember the item, yeah, that person also gets an additional point.
Yeah. Well, I'm in trouble because I've spoken about this to both of you before.
Oh, you're an idiot then, because I've got a memory.
On the old podcast, which was over a year ago.
Fair enough. Okay, so do you want to do rock, paper, scissors to see who goes first on this one? Rock, paper, scissors. Rock, paper, scissors. This is the most interesting thing in the world. We've both done scissors and both done paper at the same time.
Great visualisation for radio.
Yay. Oh, bollocks, right. Rob gets to go first. He cut my paper with his scissors.
Right.
We're not going for fire
Meet
Spock
my friend.
Or whatever.
His name
a werebear.
Is Howler.
It is what it is, isn't it?
That is a werebear. From 1983.
Wow. I have absolutely not thought about that since 1983.
Before I was born.
No, you know what? I haven't thought about that. And the only time I would have thought about that would have been the last time I went through the Argos catalogues
online.
Dan
is taking Howler with him. Are you going to turn him into the werebear?
I am going to turn him into a werebear.
If you go to Retro Mash and go to their webpage.
Get his ears out and his paws.
Oh, look at that. If you go to the Retro Mash webpage, you can look at a load of old Argos catalogues. That's the last time I've seen it. And that was easily over a year. There's definitely a point for Rob on this.
I don't know if I still have it, but they used to come with a cassette.
Yes,
and it was
a story. Yes.
Now, I found it on YouTube. So on our little page for the website, I'll have a photo of the Howler.
I'll link the cassette.
Because I was listening to it earlier. It's great.
Boom. Man, that is such a good choice.
Now, there is on the Wikipedia. Wikipedia article, it says supposedly the guy who invented it specifically for boys so they could feel like they're cool. And not get bullied by having teddy bears.
Nice.
It does say citation needed on the website, so.
So that could just be someone's bullshit they came out with that the parents told them.
Exactly, but that's what it says. Anyway, yeah.
Cool, right. Well, there's definitely a point from me. Dan, had you thought about that in the past year? Had you thought about werebears?
The closest thing you get at the moment is the Fugglers.
Oh, yes, they are.
Fugglers, yeah.
And then there's,
horrible.
Oh, what's the other thing? You press a button and the bear turns evil. They're in the toy shops at the moment.
Oh, I don't know. But I know I see the Fugglers all the time and the teeth are just really unnerving.
It's the teeth that gets me too. I don't like them.
Says the man who gets
his
todger
out. It's not like a Boglin, which was kind of ugly but cool, is it?
Oh, well, I still collect Boglins and Boglins are the best and they are making a slow comeback. Very, very slow.
I was looking on eBay at Boglins the other day.
There's new Boglins, so you don't need to buy
the old ones. They've just pre-ordered. You can now pre-order through Menkind their new one, which is the old models but glow-in-the-dark zombie ones at the moment.
Well, the guy who made them was reselling them on his own website.
He redid them, didn't he?
Yeah.
Okay, let's get to mine then, because we've got a load to get through today. And that is, who remembers Usborne books? And there were a load of Usborne books growing up. There was the Roll the Dice adventure books, Choose Your Own Adventure.
Yep.
But the one I'm going for is the one that takes you all the way back
Fight
to nursery.
Fantasy.
No,
right. It's not Usborne. No.
This takes you back to nursery school, to infant school even. And it is the Usborne First 1,000-Word Book.
Okay, and I haven't thought about that.
The only reason I absolutely loved it, I bought this on eBay, and pictures will go up on the site, because I remember being really small and going through this, because the thing is, it gave you these giant pictures, and you had to find each of the items in the picture one at a time.
Like, Where's Wally?
Yeah, it was like, Where's Wally? But it super wasn't, and it was just really, really cutely done.
We've got one at home called How My Body Works.
So How My Body Works, if it's the same one, is it the one that the blood cells are like little tubby pink creature people.
They're all people inside giant people.
Yeah, that's it. So I used to collect the magazine. It was a magazine and they came in. You got a cardboard big... Yeah, you got a book that was a solid back and it came with a... I think the thing you collected over the months was a transparent anatomy human body that you could put the body bits in.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was it. And there was like... Oh, God, over 100 books to collect as well. And then they did a TV series of it. It was French.
Yes.
And I remember watching like the TV series at like 6 o'clock in the morning on Channel 4 on a Saturday morning.
Yeah.
And yeah, it would be like, oh, little Timmy's got a disease. Let's see how the disease ravages his body.
The book's great.
Maybe not so dark.
Especially like when you get to the sexual organs bit, it's really funny.
Knobs again, Rob. Knobs again. We're not even halfway through the podcast.
You talk about that. There's another book at home I've got that I rescued from my... mother-in-law who was going to get rid of it, called The Big Book of Knowledge, and it's this big red encyclopedia book that most schools had, and the sex on that is between robots. That's how it teaches it.
Yeah.
It's just like, okay, fair enough. Would I say fair then, I'm getting a point for that, or did you not actually remember this particular book? If you didn't remember this particular book, I'm not going to take a point for that.
I don't know. I mean, it was a long time ago to specifically remember that exact book, but I remember the books.
I remember that exact book.
Yeah.
So at least I get one point there, because the other thing is, the reason that book became highly popular, I should say, is because they then did one in Spanish, in French, and it basically was exactly the same pictures, just the French words or the Spanish words or the German words for it. Really cheap way of making money, but it was used really well in education. So okay, I'm going to claim a point from Dan, but Rob, if you'd never seen that book, fair enough. I'm going to accept that you have won today with 2-1 on that then.
So I get 2 points.
You get two
so
points.
So now after only 2 times, we're now equal on.
We're now equal, which is a.
So just to interject with a bit of geeky knowledge, fighting fantasy books you mentioned earlier were written by Steve Jackson, who actually started Warhammer.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. So there you go. There's your little tidbit of knowledge if you didn't know it today.
Good knowledge.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, look, that's the Do You Remember section. It was much quicker than last week because we kind of ran to it. But as I say, we have got, and I'm going to keep saying this all bloody day, aren't I? We've got a lot to get through. So you know what, Rob, right, go on. Star Trek, go on, pick hard me.
So what was it? Episode 6 we just had, right?
Yes.
Oh my God. There was a lot going on in episode 6.
It was such a sexy episode. So good.
I get, right, that Picard has this positronic body or whatever they call it.
Yes.
I don't remember him having some mental degrading disease from the program.
Was it
introduced in the movies?
It crops up in the later series of TNG in the final episode, which is the two-part where he's kind of bumping between worlds where he's in the future, now he's in the past and all of that. It's played on the idea that it's this brain injury, this brain disease he's got that's causing it. But, you know, it crops up in several episodes.
Right. And then at some point they move his consciousness into this body?
Well, that's the end of Picard season 1. Yeah. Basically, they go, the Titan turns up with the entire Federation fleet.
Yeah.
And I really can't remember it that well. But, yeah, basically Picard dies. But, what's his name? Doctor, whatever his name is, that created Data, moved Picard into a kind of positronic body, which was meant for him instead.
That body gets into the Daystrom station.
So yeah, his dead body has turned up at the Daystrom station along with James T. Kirk's.
These are all questions.
Jonathan Archer's. The Borg Queen's head is there because
that isn't in the episode though.
I rewatched it and you see a glint in the background. You see her head and her spinal column. That is all robot from First Contact.
Well, now that
hanging
makes
down.
Sense for the fact they've got Data there.
Yes,
because they would have been taken from the exact same.
Yep.
But didn't that ship blow up?
They were just
melted by weird gas.
Yeah, but don't forget, they are retconning things. I'm pretty sure. Oh no, he doesn't die in First Contact. He dies at the end, the very final film, Insurrection. It's First Contact. She basically gets all her skin melted off and it leaves the metal, and he has all the human skin melt off, which is why you see him with half his face and that's it.
Oh, yeah, you do.
Yeah, so that's that. But I can't even remember what line I was going down now. Crap. Anyway, so yeah, you've got James T. Kirk, retconning. So they retcon it because, bear in mind, James T. Kirk, at the end of Star Trek Generations, as boring a film as it is, Picard buries him.
Mm. Yeah.
Because that's the whole point. He buries him to make sure that the timeline doesn't get corrupted and so
that's
on.
That's why he's on my list as well. So how can he be in there?
If he's alive, which is what we're led to believe because we hear the faint beeping of life support, does that mean Picard buried him alive?
Or...
and they went and dug him up.
That's kind of time travel-y. Do they have a different time travel time version of James T. Kirk?
It could well be, yeah. It could be a different James
alternate
T. Kirk.
Reality.
Yeah, a different reality version of him.
My God, it's the evil Kirk with a beard.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing we'll never know. I think those are more Easter eggs.
They're just
for
fun. Yeah.
The fact that they went into the depth of writing exactly why below each thing, why they've got it, that is just says to me they know it's going to be in 4K and 8K and that there's going
to
be someone reading it. And
well,
if they don't
me, yeah.
write it properly, they know some geek is going to kick up such a fuss over it. It's not going to be worth their living.
I really enjoyed the genetically modified treble.
Oh, the genetically modified treble was fantastic.
That was cool. Right, so Miranda had to explain this to me because it's kind of a Deep Space Nine thing. So, and this sounds terrible. The Federation basically committed genocide by creating the changeling disease.
So I never
which
quite...
is a story straight out of Mass Effect.
Yeah.
Too. Mass Effect have copied it
genophage.
Straight away. Yeah, the genophage. Yeah, exactly.
I never quite got to the end of Deep Space Nine. As I said, it all goes a little bit oola pee pee poo poo with Sisko. And I kind of signed off at that point. But from what I understand, yeah, they commit genocide. But don't forget, they're willing to do this because Picard is demanded to, or ordered to commit genocide against the Borg in, there's an episode called I, Hugh, which is the Borg they rescue and develops a name. And they're meant to plant a virus on him that goes and destroys all the Borg. They don't, but that's what they were meant to do. So yeah, the Federation's got no problem with genocide.
But it's...
when it's war.
Because Odo gets it. And then they have to fight to give him the cure. I think Miranda was saying to me he's the reason why the cure gets delivered, because they give him the cure and then he rejoins the planet, or what they've called it, the big mush, whatever they call it.
The
and
orgy.
Then, and then that's how the cure gets spread to all of them because of him. That's what Miranda was explaining it to me.
I am going to watch that final scene. I'm going to try and watch it over the next couple of weeks, I think. But the thing is I still like the idea that it's possibly Odo inside of Jack's brain or something like that. There's a good changeling masquerading as something in Jack, I think.
Yeah.
And what they're after is not Jack, they're after what's inside
yes,
him.
Yes, I think you're right. I think that's what's happening too. And another thing is, if they have that genetic weapon, okay, they've cured them, why can't they just release it again?
It depends on how they created it. So think about the flu. You have a flu vaccine that is effective against one type of flu. I'm guessing what they created in this, their vaccine, is effective against that one version of it. So they'd have to then remake a new version. And don't forget the genocide? No, the Federation are full of their bullshit rules. So things like treaties. They love having a treaty. You know, right, we've had peace with the Klingon. What we'll say in our treaty is Federation ships can't have cloaks. Why? Why
yeah,
on
just
earth
about to,
would that be a benefit in a treaty? Just because the other side basically developed the cloaking technology. Why can't we? Because you've got...
Everyone's got transporters, tractor beams.
Exactly. That is absolutely it. So, yeah, and I know what you're going to come up with.
That
why didn't they just take? Why didn't they take the bounty rather than steal the cloaking device and mount it in the Titan instead? The only reason I can think of is because the bounty would be so underpowered, undershielded and everything else. And also it's a historical landmark, which they all, okay, rather than taking the bounty, we'll take Voyager. How would you feel about them stealing Voyager to go on a bit of a cruise to go and rescue those three? It gets destroyed. You're never getting that back. And I think everyone understands that as a important thing for the Federation to stay the Federation, which they're fighting to keep right now, is to make sure the things that made the Federation should stay.
Logic states they take the Klingon warbird. They have to do nothing because it's already there and it's a fucking fighter jet.
But they're not Vulcans, so it really doesn't matter.
but you could argue,
why don't they take the Defiant from Deep Space Nine? Because
although
the original Defiant got destroyed, none other after that had the cloaking device, the Defiant's meant to be like the most heavily armoured, massively weaponed ship out there.
But my point why I mentioned the warbird is, they have a cloaking device, and I think you just said it in your treaty stuff. It's like they have basically stolen technology. I don't know what that warbird's from. No, the warbird the was from the, from the whale film.
Yeah, the whales.
So they've got a cloaking device. Surely Daystrom Station has re-engineered that to be able to fit in.
Oh, the Daystrom Station must have a cloaking device of the Federation design, full stop. There's going to be one in there. But I don't think it's fair to go into what the Daystrom facility has, because it's such a huge thing and it technically is... Well, technically, it doesn't exist, Rob.
Oh, yeah, okay. It's Area 51 in space. Yeah.
Exactly. All of that stuff. We could go into so many things that could fix the whole Star Trek universe that could just be hidden in there. It is just a plot point in a story.
Okay, well, that's it then. That's all I've got for now.
No more Picard questions then?
Not right now.
Until you watch the next episode.
Until I watch the next episode and I'll start my massive list of questions again.
Fantastic stuff. Okay, so that is our quota of Star Trek for yet another couple of weeks. And you can join us again on that later. And if you want to comment on any of that, especially if I got any of it wrong, which is very, very possible, then just drop us a message over on social media, which will be listed at the end. But the easiest way to find us, and channel84.co.uk, all our social media channels are on there, so you can just find us then and there.
We didn't get anything wrong last week, I'm assuming.
We did, but I honestly don't think I can be bothered doing a mistake section every week.
I don't care. I don't care if we got anything wrong.
Well, that's kind of the other thing as well. Do I really care if we got something wrong?
I really want people to start pulling us up on it, and then I would purposely ignore it.
Because we love you.
Yeah, there is only one person of our fan base that I will listen to.
Oh, really?
Yep. Her name is Karen.
Oh, Karen. Karen.
She can say whatever she likes and I'll listen to it.
Pretty much. If you're still listening, Karen, that one was for you.
Yeah.
Honest.
Cheers, mate.
Yeah, thanks.
Anyway, you wanted to talk about Top Gun and Hot Shots.
Yeah, so I watched Hot Shots the other night, and I forgot how just funny a film it was, even if you don't rule out the fact that Charlie Sheen, Tiger Blood, all that crap that went on with him.
Tiger Blood, oh my gosh. He should have brought that to the table.
Do you remember Tiger Blood?
Do you remember Chocolate Rain?
Oh my god, now you're messing around too much. But yeah, okay, so yeah, Charlie Sheen went a bit crazy, but before he went crazy, or maybe while he was going crazy, he did Hot Shots, and it is just a fantastic, fantastic film, and it's just so much fun to be had with it. And then you got Top Gun, which both of us only really recently discovered. Was it this? No, last year we discovered
it,
wasn't
it? Last year we both watched it, yeah.
And again, amazing film. But that's not what I'm here to talk about. I am talking about their theme songs today. A little bit of music for you for once. Because the two theme songs, and what I'll do is I'll insert Top Gun now. And then I'm going to now play you a little bit of the Hot Shots one. It is seriously, of my opinion, that Hot Shots wins. Now, I know Top Gun's got the most amazing guitar bit to it, and as soon as you hear it, it takes you away to think about Top Gun, or for me, it takes you away to thinking about the original Worms, because that's where it was featured in my brain. But Hot Shots, the theme song has no right to be that good.
Yeah.
For that film.
I don't know, the film's pretty good.
Oh, the film is good, but it should be attached to a film like Top Gun, not a film like Hot Shots.
If you were going to say what has the best intro without listening to them, you'd say, well, Top Gun, until you listen to them. That's essentially what we're saying. as soon as you actually listen to that Hot Shots tune, you're like, clearly that's better.
Yeah. Well, it's the fact it, Top Gun, you get the few chords kind of intro, and then you get the guitar straight away, and it's like, boom, you know, that's a solid.
And we it's recognisable. People know the song.
Exactly. Yeah. They know the song. Whereas with Hot Shots, you get this little bit more of a drawn out intro, and then suddenly it goes full on 80s, early 90s action superhero song. And it's like, wow, I'm really pumped up for this now. Yeah. Oh, you know, I'm really glad I'm not the one going mad here then.
No, so, it's good.
I think, are we all in agreement then that Hot Shots was actually the best of song?
100%.
Yeah. Hot Shots is much better.
Boom. Happy days. You know, Rob, I've done so much talking. So we're going to move on to the today's topic. In fact, no, that sounds like a cunt. Well done, Tom. Clap, clap.
You don't sound like a cunt, Tom. Dan does.
I hadn't even said anything.
Okay.
But in other way.
Today's topic. We'll try one more time without Dan coughing down the fucking mic.
Well, nobody comes out in the changing room, Dan.
Right. Today's topic. A while ago, I came up with a list of films from 1984 up to the current day of year, detailing what my favourite film was. I then told Rob about this, who he went off and did his, and he went one step extra, as he always fucking does, to then add honourable mentions to the flipping thing. So I went back and readjusted mine, so I've got first, second, and third place, and I also threw a no thanks into there, and you can see my list, it's over on channel84.co.uk, Rob's will be up there at some point, so you can match them up yourself. And basically, it's nothing to do with how good a film is, it's not to do with it being Oscar-worthy, it's to do with our choice about, it's a lazy Sunday afternoon, we may or may not be hungover, what film are we going to watch? And we've just picked one major one from each year that we would say, I would watch this on a Sunday afternoon, or even I would go as far to say, I would look at buying these all in Blu-ray and have my collection and just say, the reason I bought this film was because it's within my top choice of these years. Yeah. So yeah, we're starting in 1984, which I know is a bit unfair because Rob was born a year later, but my first place film for that then is The Terminator, because it is just that full stop fucking classic. And as much as I like Terminator 2, it's The Terminator's my favourite one out of that those two films, because it just feels that much more hopeless. There is so much more, it is more terrifying that you've got this slow, lumbering robot coming towards you. It's not being stopped. And there's just so much more dread to the film. Whereas the second one, as amazing as the second one is, it feels so much more quicker, which actually makes it less scary because they gave him almost too much power. Whereas you've got this slow, lumbering lump of metal always following you, never stopping. You could never basically stop and turn around because you think, okay, I've got miles away. It's nowhere near caught up with me. Yeah, it's going to catch up with you.
Terminator is a thriller. Terminator 2 is an action film.
Right, and this is back in the day. This happened all the time. Alien, horror film. Aliens,
action film.
Yes.
Even you go to Die Hard, Nakatomi Plaza, Die Hard 2, big airport, massive shootout. Very different type of film. One's are hiding.
Probably money too. Yeah, the sake of the sequels getting more money, they're thinking, let's go bigger, let's go better, and it kind of loses.
Well, whether or not it's true, again, another podcast I listened to called The Retrospect has looked at Alien and Aliens. And do you know what, it was James Cameron that did Aliens, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
Do you know what his pitch for Aliens was?
Yes, he put Alien and put a dollar sign at the end.
That's it, and that's where the name Aliens came from. He put a dollar sign at the end of it, and that's what was accepted as a pitch back then.
And they just accepted it and gave him all the money
just
he wanted.
Basically just more Alien. That's what he meant by that.
Basically. So just honourable mentions then was Ghostbusters, because obviously, and Gremlins, again, because obviously, they're just those classic...
Christmas movie.
Yeah, and...
It is a Christmas film.
I will say the so no thanks. Hard. Yeah, Christmas film that was released in the summer.
But it is based at Christmas.
It is a Christmas film, but it was released in the... It was a summer
Gizmo
blockbuster.
Gizmo was a Christmas present, so...
You said about Die Hard just then. Didn't somebody come out and actually say that it isn't a Christmas
Yeah,
film?
Was Bruce
it
Willis...
Or was it Bruce Willis?
Bruce Willis said it isn't, but the person who wrote the book and the film said it is.
Right, okay.
At the end of the day, let's just agree to disagree. It is a Christmas film.
Hang on, which film are we talking about here?
Die Hard. Because he mentioned Die Hard.
I was still on Gremlins. It's like, no, Gremlins.
I told you
is
this needs to be two episodes because we're never going to get through.
Yeah, good God. Okay. Right. And you know, my no thanks film for this, and I don't care what anyone says, is Footloose. It is shite. I can't stand it.
Have you got
it.
My wife's list there?
Yeah. So your wife, Rob, decided that she was going to take part in this without me knowing and added her own ones. But although she hasn't got 1984 on there, so Footloose isn't there.
She's been like, because you went by 1980 till 86, so she shouldn't even have 85 on there.
She's got 86 on there.
If you look on the last page, she's got films from the 70s.
Oh, yeah. She's got 56, yeah. 67 and
she's got
53.
Some
fair
films
enough.
Of her that she added.
Yeah. And I mean, if we were going to go back, I mean, the original The Day the Earth Stood Still. Not the Keanu Reeves one, obviously, because that was Pony.
War of the Worlds.
The original War of the Worlds versus anything. There's so many films that we could go back and look at. But, right, okay, 84 was a nice easy one because it was only me talking.
Well.
Rob?
I don't know.
You opened up with 84.
I'm sorry, I was born in 83 and I'd swap your first and second round
born
for
me. Born in 83?
Yes.
Oh, he's old.
He's old.
He's got no grey hairs, though.
Well, that's just for me.
You just got a lot of scalp.
Hang on. Sorry. We are jumping out of we're going into Star Trek for one more time. Rewind. We have to make him do the Riker pose because I'm sorry. He is young William Riker and I've always thought that. I've never got around to remembering.
If you cut his hair, yes.
No, with the hair as it is now, he is. Oh, yeah. Okay. No, fair enough.
Not while he's doing the whistling.
We'd need to give him a bit of a perm. Yeah. But yeah, make him do the Riker pose. He looks like Riker. Right, okay, sorry, right. Go on, back to you, Dan.
Right,
back to the film.
So for me, I'd have to swap the first and second just because Ghostbusters is a massive classic for me.
I really love Ghostbusters, but I was going for what would I watch over and over again, and I tried to re-watch Ghostbusters the other day, and I just found I have to really be in such a specific mood for it now. Love the film, hence the reason it came into like honourable mention straight into second place for me. But the Terminator, I find I would be more interested in watching that more often than Ghostbusters.
See, I'm the opposite. So for me, Ghostbusters, I've got the comics because IDW released a whole series of comic books set after the film and the computer game, the licensed computer game. I have
Ghostbusters!
Exactly. No, so for me, Terminator is a classic, but I prefer Terminator 2.
No, fair enough. Okay,
I prefer Terminator 2 as well, but Terminator 1 is a very good film. But 2 is better. So you're wrong. What,
you're saying Terminator 3 is not the best out of all of them? Or Salvation?
I wonder.
Or Terminator Dark Fate, which actually turns up on my list as a never fucking again, thank you, you cunts.
Is that the one where Doctor Who is John Connor that's now a Terminator?
They're all really confusing.
It's the one that basically Arnold Schwarzenegger is back as the Terminator and he's now playing a draper because after successfully killing John Connor, he decides that he's got to do something better with his life and goes into being a draper.
Yeah.
That is the story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is the one where Matt Smith turns up and he's actually John Connor from a different timeline who is now also an evil Terminator,
Matt
isn't
Smith.
It? Yeah, Matt Smith's in that. I think he's
who,
in
Matt
Dark Fate. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, I'm not remembering this very well.
Well, we'll have a lemon film festival at some point and we'll watch it. And
I think we should do a little fest of watching all of the ones you don't like.
Thanks. Thank you so much.
I think you should name your one first because people know yours and then we'll...
What, 1985? Okay, well, my top one there, Back to the Future. Really hard not to go with Back to the Future
wrong.
For that. Oh, Jesus, go on.
It's Mad Max Beyond the Thunderdome.
Ooh.
Tina Turner.
You can... Because remember the criteria, a film that is on, you will never switch over. What film did you say?
Back to the Future.
It's a better film than Mad Max. But I will turn over when that's on. I will never, ever turn over Beyond the Thunderdome.
That's because it's never fucking on TV.
It used to be on all the time.
Did it?
Did used to be on all the
like
time.
It was. They used to do the Mad Max, but they used to do the James Bond from
Maybe
start
it was a Channel
finish.
5 thing.
Very good. Yeah, you're right. You know, they always used to have that period, didn't they? The year where you'd get James Bond films every Sunday. Yeah.
And then
gone
the
through
next
all of them.
Week it would be on ITV rather than BBC.
I understand that it's not the best Mad Max film.
Nowhere near.
The first one's the best one. And I understand it's not definitely not going to be winning any Oscars. Maybe it has. I don't
but
know.
This,
I didn't
but that,
check.
That's the point of
but
this. It's a film that
I
we
love
enjoy.
It.
It is a great film.
Yeah.
It just didn't hit my top three, if I'm honest.
Yeah, I mean, I have got Back to the Future as my next honourable mention, alongside The Goonies.
Now, we share the Goonies then, and we share Back to the Future in one way. The difference then for me was I had Santa Claus the movie, the children's film that opens with old man and old mother Santa dying in the freezing cold.
Now, is that the one
which I really didn't remember.
That's a good one.
Is that the one Emma loves? Yeah.
Yeah, Dudley.
One of my favourite films of all time.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
And I'll put it in one of my favourite films of all time list, but Back to the Future still beats that for me.
Boom.
When you look at the
take
year.
Take that, you slag.
But every Christmas we've got that on DVD and we'll put it on. Mad Max is a great film, but for me, Back to the Future.
Okay, I'll
allow. Kay absolutely loves Santa Claus the movie. But I'll be honest, unless it was cut from whenever it was shown on TV, on the UK, on ITV, I do not remember that horrifying beginning where they freeze to death and that's like the origin story of Santa. It is a really dark intro.
When I think of that film, another film comes to my mind, because the VHS we had of it was remembering it of not being very good quality, because I think Emma just watched it so many times. It was the film with Rick Mayall when he's the imaginary
Drop Dead Fred.
Drop Dead Fred.
Another one of Emma's favourites.
One too. And those two films in my mind go together because my sister loved them both. And I just remember the quality of the VHS was not great.
Correct.
And there was just something about those two films, they live in the exact same drawer in my head.
That's fair enough. They're very, very similar
when did
era.
That must be 85, 80s.
That's going to be the 80s, I'd imagine. Yeah. We'll look it up and we'll pop it over on the site when we
Spoilers
put up the
not
episode.
Made my list.
But yeah, so the other thing that makes Santa Claus the movie such a good film is John Lithgow. Dudley Moore, great, but John Lithgow, just falls, whatever he's in. I mean, Third Rock from the Sun is one of my favourite comedy things that he
really
did. It's
good show. That was on the other
such
day,
a good show.
That was another one that used to be on all the time.
Yeah, always. So it started on, we first got it on BBC Two when BBC Two used to do Thursday night comedy. That's where it first appeared. Then it moved to Channel 4. And then it started doing the rounds at Channel 4 in the kind of morning along after Everyone Loves Raymond.
Is this a hot take? I don't like Friends.
No, I'm not a fan.
And if Friends was on one channel and Third Rock from the Sun was on another channel, I'd watch Third Rock.
Oh, I'd watch Third Rock.
Back in the day, loved Friends. Now it's old hat.
Didn't like it then, don't like it now.
I find it too cringeworthy. A bit like the UK Office. I find the humour in it is...
Not really watched it.
It's
American one, genius.
Sorry, Ricky.
Yeah.
Ricky,
I'm sure he
sorry,
had
no, that's EastEnders,
that.
Isn't
I'm
it?
I'm sure he had loads of money from the American one too.
Oh, I'm sure he did.
Sure, he does not care which one we like best.
So I'm just going to point out then that I just won 1985, the year you were born.
The year I was born, yeah.
Unlucky. Yeah. So are
I've
you saying
got a lot
you,
that I'm going to beat you on? Don't you worry.
Are you saying you want me to go first every time? Because
yeah, I think
my list is
yeah, you go
okay.
first every time.
1986.
Yep.
Short Circuit in first place.
Oh, it's second place.
Followed up by Top Gun. And that was a recent change because we only found it last year. And then Crocodile Dundee.
We have very similar. My first was Top Gun. Second, so my second is Short Circuit. And then I've got The Voyage Home.
Oh.
Yeah, I really wanted to put more Star Trek on there. And if we were talking about 12-year-old me, absolutely, there'd be so much more Star Trek on there. But me that now watches films and actually understands how they're made, what goes into it, and actually starting to understand the stories and realise the first time I watched it, I probably didn't pay attention or understand a fuck that was going on in it. It's been big changes. So there's barely any Star Trek in mine, which is really disappointing.
Yeah, there's too much nostalgia in it for me.
Mm.
That I can't. It doesn't matter how rubbish it is, it will be left on.
No, that's fair enough. And by the way, I forgot 1985 film when that was no thanks for me was Cocoon. Freaked me out as a kid, and I don't think I've ever forgiven that.
I only seen it once.
And then 9.5 weeks for 1986.
Yeah.
So for me, 1986, out of films we mentioned, Top Gun comes top because I will put that on to watch. Short Circuit is so nostalgic. I love it. It's such a good film. But to watch now, I would sit there and watch Top Gun. I think it's stood the test of time more.
Yeah, I would suggest. I would absolutely suggest that. Yeah, that's kind of the better option. But for me, I would watch Short Circuit over Top Gun. But I can understand why Top Gun is so prevalent now. Like I said, me and Rob only discovered it last year. We only found it. because we forced ourselves to watch it. I can't remember, why did we watch it?
Because we wanted to watch the new one.
Oh, we wanted to and watch the new one.
You had and never watched Top Gun
neither until last year.
The homoerotic, erotic film of the century.
I know, me, of all people, yeah, I haven't watched it.
I think me and you made the joke at one point, didn't we? Is there a scene in the original film where they're not wet?
Yeah, this is like the most wet I've ever seen.
You could be my wingman any day.
Well, and then it was the discovery that Dr. Green from ER is Goose.
Yeah.
It's like, I know him.
It's such a good film.
I get that reference.
It's just Top Gun. The thing about Short Circuit, though, I just get amazed at how they did the
They were full on animatronics and remote controlled robots. Okay, they weren't robots per se by being AI driven, obviously, but they were technically robots because they were mechanical and machines.
Yeah, but how they just got them in the film. Well, we watch I've now instantly forgotten what it's called, that YouTube channel where it goes through all the kind of cinematography and CGI stuff.
Oh, Captain Disillusion.
Captain Disillusion and
is it the one with the guys on the sofa?
Yes.
That is brilliant. What's it called? Yeah. Cinema something.
Oh, Cinema Snobs or
Brain? They're all animators and CGI people and they kind of watch stuff.
We'll put it in later if we remember, but
I've got it on my favourite scene.
I know which one you mean, but yeah,
Corridor Crew,
Corridor Digital, them, yeah, those guys, and they go through all these kind of old films and how they did all their CGI and stuff, and they should do Short Circuit because that's, I'd love to know how they did that.
Well, there's a lot online already about it, but yeah, there's a group of people rebuilding a Johnny Five robot at the moment. And they're trying to make it as close to the film as they can. And it looks amazing so far. But there was so much to it as well. Just it looked the part. It just absolutely felt like a robot should do. Yeah. Like a kid's drawing as well. That was the other nice thing about it. When you ask a kid to draw a robot, it's like, it's got to have tank track. You could imagine that's actually what it's meant to look like. It was brilliant.
What was the one with the little flying spaceships?
Batteries not included.
Yeah.
Sad film.
Steven Spielberg.
Yeah, it was again one of his best films. Okay, well, you know, I'm not too sad that Top Gun, seeing that Top Gun appeared in my list there. And we're going to come to your wife's list now there. Crocodile Dundee, Big Trouble in Little China was a that would have been a fourth or a fifth spot for me.
I've only seen it once. I'd never seen it until she showed it to me.
You upset me.
There's quite a few films.
Every day, Rob, you
never
upset me.
That's really
in
bad.
A different way.
I don't know. I send you some pretty good WhatsApps.
Oh yeah, you do.
You got some gems today.
So Dan, I was sat at the desk trying to work, and what do I get? I get three voice messages all at once of him singing various theme songs of TV shows.
Then you got Poddington Peas was one you got. That was yesterday. Wasn't what I sung today. I can't remember I got lost in Hampstead.
Yes,
I couldn't get Google Maps to
work. Then you created a song about
so
being lost. I didn't know where I was going.
Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
Yes, that was we talked about that before. I think Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
Yeah,
yeah.
As it had the cartoon as well, weirdly, didn't it? It had I can't remember. It wasn't Troja that made the film, or it might have been, but yeah, then you had this weird cartoon that came out as well. It had a great theme song.
Right, anyway, right.
Right, 87.
Okay, 87. Opening film for me then, top film, Predator, followed by The Running Man, followed by RoboCop, and I will never, ever see Mannequin because, meh.
Agreed.
Predator, and was the other one? Running Man.
So Predator was top, followed by The Running Man and RoboCop.
And what have you got?
Yeah, you see, I put Full Metal Jacket. I didn't realise those other two films came out the same year. Now I'm torn because I love all three of those films. Predator's last out of the three.
Oh no, well, Predator's my top.
The Running Man, I think, is there with Full Metal Jacket. Like, I can't pick it.
The Running Man's just one of those classic films. Now, you know what? Full Metal Jacket, I really thought hard about putting it on that list. It's just too much, and it's hard to believe it when you think about what the film's about. I found there's too much thinking in it for me to actually want. I really, really need to be in the mood to watch it, sort of thing.
I think,
and I
you're
kind
right.
of used any film like that. I kind of ruled out being in my top three because those films you can't just pick up and go, you know what, I will watch this. Whereas the films that I've tried to choose are films that I would say, yeah, I am going to, I would watch
this. I think you're right. And if we're going to go by that, then The Running Name, I should actually pick as my first one.
Okay, fair enough. But Dan's already thrown his answer in there.
Predator.
Anyway, yeah, so you've won that one.
It's just such a classic. And what I love about Predator more than anything is it starts off as a 1980s action film where they're attacking the village, there's guns, there's explosions, they're going
like
to rescue.
Rambo, yeah.
Yeah, it's exactly like Rambo. And then, oh shit, it turns into some sort of horror film where they're being stalked and it's gory as hell. It goes from that, you know, people being shot to people being skinned alive and hung from trees.
Is Predator where the macho handshake comes from?
What, them slamming their hands? Yeah, that's absolutely that. And then you've got the bit where...
Popular meme.
Yeah.
You've got the bloke doing the razor into his cheek and... Oh, it's just brutal, yeah, brutal film.
That was one, actually. I saw at a friend's house, a friend of mine called Kenny, when we were at primary school. His parents had rented it from the local Blockbuster in St Albans.
Nice.
And he was like, should we watch Predator? I was like, sure.
Yeah, nice. I like it. But thanks to Twitter, and we talk about how we hated Twitter, as I said, the lesser of two evils sometimes, someone posted the picture up, black and white picture that I hadn't seen for ages, of Van Damme dressed up in this dodgy looking alien outfit that was meant to be the original Predator, and then he was fired halfway through filming. And
that's
they
true, yeah. I heard that, yeah.
It's awful. It looks terrible. He looks like a giant. I think it's kind of been based on a praying mantis or something.
Now, was he fired because they didn't like the idea, or did he do something that made him get fired?
I've got a feeling they just didn't think.
I think it's because it looked shit. They knew it looked shit, and it's like it's not going to work.
Yeah, I think it's just down to the fact it didn't look right. But I honestly don't know what the story is to that one. So I will say, for now, I don't know. But that's what it looked like. So I'm just showing Rob the picture of it. We'll put that up on the webpage.
It doesn't look that bad. He must have done
something.
It's not
that bad, but...
I mean,
when you compare it to the
actual
Predator...
Yeah, the actual Predator looks way better.
You know, the vagina mouth with teeth, the vagina dentata going on in his mouth as well,
they do fleshlights that have got the Predator face.
Why? Why do you know these things?
I don't know why I know these things. It's just... I've got the worst memory, but some things stick.
there is a Predator fleshlight.
Yeah.
Predator face fleshlight. Yeah. And let me go, has it got some neon green gunge in there for when you really get near finishing?
I don't own one. I just know it exists.
Fill it up and when you clean it out, it glows in the dark.
Well, that's disgusting, isn't it? Don't put a black light on it.
1988. Now I think I'm gonna
win this by a mile.
Are you?
Oh,
having heard what he was saying, I don't know. So 88, top choice, Die Hard for me, because I could rewatch that over and over. Followed by Beetlejuice, Short Circuit 2, just because of everything, and then Twins, no thanks, because Rob,
Twins is my film for 1988.
And that is why you upset me so often.
How can you not enjoy Twins?
Because that, you can't have
Danny DeVito.
As the
you
genetic...
You don't like Danny DeVito?
No, I think he's brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can't have him as the genetic shit, if I remember the quote correctly, of Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That's why it's so brilliant, because you don't expect it.
And also how effeminate Arnold Schwarzenegger is used to. And we're talking about Predator, and then he comes in as Twins.
Look, I get that...
You're going to fucking like Junior as well, aren't you?
I have him on my list, but I do like it. So,
I quit.
Okay, look. I will always watch Die Hard if it's on, but I won't get the same enjoyment out of Die Hard that I get out of Twins.
See,
I struggle to get any
enjoyment
out of Twins.
I know, Dan, that you do really like Die Hard, but come on. Die Hard's on Channel 1, Twins is on Channel 3. Ignore that there's adverts on Twins. What would you pick? Because you won't have watched Twins that much.
Okay.
Of course I'm going to watch Twins.
Okay.
The adverts.
Yeah. Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice is on there as well. Right. I love Beetlejuice. It's a fantastic movie.
I'll be honest here. No!
And out of the two, depends on the time of the year.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Mid-year, Twins. bang, if it's getting close to Christmas, I'll watch it just to piss off everyone and go, it's a Christmas film, we're watching it at
now
Christmas.
I think I win because you're watching it to spite other people, where Twins, you're watching it for enjoyment.
No, Die Hard, I know most of the lines, you know, all the action points, I've watched it so many times, I love it, I will watch it, but Twins is just that, again, it's never on. I actually do think I'd pick Twins, and you've put it as one you don't like.
Oh.
But Die Hard, anytime around Christmas, November, December, it's Die Hard. I put it on just
maybe,
so annoying.
Maybe
should we take
draw.
This as a draw?
I think it's
then.
A draw, draw. Yeah.
I mean, I'm disgusted to admit that because I'm putting Twins on the no thanks. Full stop.
It's such a good.
He's really upset by it.
The bit when he gets the car and he's, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger picks it up to turn off the alarm.
Yeah,
oh,
it's,
oh,
so
yeah, it's a good,
good
film.
Twins is so good.
You're both cunts.
See, I remember all those little bits about that film. It is a good film.
Yeah, Karen's going to agree.
Julius, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, Julius. Right, yeah. Right, let's go next.
Right, hang on. Right, so
I
that
think
was,
we might have the same one here. I don't.
That was 1988, but we've been ignoring Rob's wife.
Oh, what does she prefer?
87 was Overboard, which
no,
yeah, it's not a bad film. The Living Daylights, Battery's not included.
Yeah.
Boom. 1988, Working Girl. No,
she's got some stinkers on there, Dick.
Crocodile Dundee 2 and Die Hard. So yeah, you know what? Crocodile Dundee 2.
She goes and finds the Crocodile Dundee films to watch.
The first, yeah. Crocodile Dundee. You call that a knife?
Yeah.
Dun. Crocodile Dundee 2 is very good.
2's the one where he walks across everyone's head in the subway, right?
Yeah.
So you call that a knife? You've played Knifey Spoonie before.
That's a Channel 5 film. Dundee 2 is a Channel 5 film.
Both of them are.
Yeah.
And the first Crocodile Dundee, you've got the brilliant bit where he snaps the neck of the snake.
So you remember, have you rewatched it recently and seen the quality of the crocodile that comes out of the air?
Yeah.
It's just awful.
But yeah, well, that was a family film we used to sit down and watch as
a
family.
Yeah, I don't know how.
Things were different.
I think we must have the same one for 89. I don't remember what you chose.
But 89, I've gone for Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Agreed, my turn.
Followed with The Abyss, then Batman, and I'm never watching Pretty Woman.
Isn't that what Miranda's put?
Hang on. Rob's Wife, 1989. Is 89? Yeah, it is 89. No. Ghostbusters 2, License to Kill, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
I thought you'd be pretty right. Okay, so my Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, so we both win a point because there's no other film.
Whoa, hang on. You're ignoring the Batman.
So, yeah, Batman I have on my list.
Okay, and you're ignoring
the top
Indy.
Spot.
And I've got Ghostbusters and I've got Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Actually, I'm not...
Great film.
I'm not ignoring Indy, but 89 was a goddamn hard year to
choose
from.
There's a lot. I mean, I've got the first one and then three other films. And the same happens to me in 92. There was more films than I thought. I could just keep listing films. I can't keep listing all these
films. I could have listed so many more films for some
I
of these years.
I had to cut it down. I was like, well, this is as little as
I
can get to.
I disagree with you both. Bill and Ted's one on my top for that year. But Batman and Indiana Jones... Sorry, one of those. And in fact, out of those two, Indiana Jones, I would watch more often than the other.
TJ, whose idea was it to bring Dan?
I don't know.
Onto
you invited him, didn't you?
I don't think I did invite him.
I always find Indiana Jones to put on. I like Harrison Ford back then. It's nostalgia for me. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventures, great, but Indiana Jones is just another level for me, personally.
No, fair. You know,
and the Batman, he was Batman.
Yeah,
he is
Batman. It's one of the best Batmans.
Yeah, you know what? That's fine. And also, have you seen the new advert for the Flash film or whatever it is going to be?
Flashpoint.
Where he screwed up time or whatever it is. I don't know what's going on.
I haven't watched the trailers.
Original Batman turns up back in it and original Batmobile. It's like, okay, I might actually watch this now because this looks cool.
He was in the film The Bird. Is that what it's called?
Birdman.
I haven't watched it yet, but I'm pretty sure because he wasn't in anything for a long time. And
right,
that film
okay.
is supposed to be about him in Batman.
Oh,
and
okay.
And how he was treated afterwards and his feelings about it. That's what
right.
I heard. It might be talking out my bum. But
no,
yeah.
I've still not watched Birdman, but
I've
heard
it. I've actually not seen it either, but that's what I heard originally. Because he wasn't in anything... like massive for quite a long
Fine.
Time before that, and then that brought him back into it. Anyway, right,
I'm just going to point. We're going to get to the year 2000, no matter what, in today's episode. That's where we're going to draw the line.
1990.
Now I'm already screwed up a bit because actually going back on what we said and about where you moved The Running Man for the film I've chosen is exactly shouldn't be what we're doing then, because it is a thinking film. So I am going to swap my second and first around then for 1990. Home Alone, just because I could watch that at any point because it's so much goddamn fun. What was top was a film called Awakenings. Now, not many people have ever heard of Awakenings.
She's got that on her list.
Thank God for someone then, because
I've never heard of it.
It's Robin Williams, it's Robert De Niro. And
I have heard of it. Robin, I like that film.
It's the one.
I didn't know what it was called.
It is the most amazing film.
It's a
if
really
you've
good
never
film.
Come across it, Robert De Niro basically has what most people know as statue syndrome.
Yeah.
Robin Williams discovers that with certain medication and then a better improvement on that medication, they come out of their statue state. Really sad ending. Not going to ruin it though, because go and watch it instead.
Such a good film.
But it is all powerful, but it is a very thinking film. So I will swap Home Alone into first place for it, followed by Awakenings, then Total Recall, and then... Did I actually screw that up? Oh yeah, don't. It was The Little Mermaid was last year that I wouldn't watch, the cartoon version. I hate it. Absolutely hate it. Shit film in my book.
Under the Sea.
Pretty Prostitute Woman is this year.
Okay. I like Pretty Woman.
Well, I can't believe you haven't mentioned this film.
Go on.
Tremors.
Oh.
I know.
Come on.
You've just caused me problems now.
You see, I could get rid of Awakenings and just have that as it is one of the most amazing films, but it's not going to come into this, and have Tremors in its place, because you're right. Tremors is just, it's bacon goodness.
Yeah.
I was going to say, who puts Awakenings above a Total Recall for a film at any time? And now you just pull Tremors out your ass. I'm like,
That's how I do it. That's how I get Arnold Schwarzenegger in my head. Because a Total Recall is my second one.
Yeah, it's Tremors.
Tremors
for first, because I watch that every possible opportunity.
Yeah, and I'm not going to argue.
It's not
that
on so
one.
Much anymore.
It's not. It's on Netflix, or it was. And there's like Tremors 4 now.
There's like a series.
There's six
series.
Or seven now.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't watched anything past Tremors 1.
I'm sure they did a Tremors series.
Like, really?
Yeah, I think they've done
like
it.
Six
they went. They went forward into the future, so they had a different evolution in each sequel. And then it went back into the past.
The other ones just aren't good.
See, I put Tremors up there with the sort of film like Critters.
Yes.
Yes.
But Tremors is the better of the franchises.
I won't watch Critters. I'm not interested in it, but I'll watch Tremors.
The first Tremors film is what I've seen part of Tremors 2 and no.
Yeah. They're not good. The other ones just aren't
Kevin Bacon makes it.
Mm. It's like Starship Troopers. Don't watch the second one.
Yeah,
the first one is perfect. You don't watch the second one.
Not if you like the book, it isn't.
And coming up short, talking about Universal Soldier, don't watch Universal Soldier The Return. Mm. But yeah, okay, cool. You know, I fully accept losing on that one. Tremors is a blinding film. But Home Alone as well. You can't tell me you do not watch that multiple times at the Christmas season.
Again, Christmas season.
Yeah.
It's a seasonal film for me.
Yeah, no, and yeah, that's fair enough. It isn't. Well, I don't think in our household Christmas things can only come out on December the 1st. So I doubt I'd get away with watching that at any time at this point.
1991.
Okay. Oh, no, hang on. You forget your wife. You're such a bastard, Rob.
Sorry, dude.
Who invited Miranda?
Yeah.
Well, exactly. True. 1990, The Witches, kind of like that.
Yeah.
Awakenings, Ghost.
Yeah, you put your paper down quick.
Yeah, Ghost. No.
I do not like Ghost as a film.
I don't mind Ghost, having only been introduced to it by my wife
Swayze
recently.
And Goldberg, it's a great film. Not one of my top ones.
Whoopi Goldberg is amazing in most. We watched Sister Act for the other night.
That's
again,
a wicked movie.
And it's a bloody brilliant film.
Yeah, it's a good film.
Making a new one.
That doesn't surprise
me. With Whoopi Goldberg in it.
Yeah. Anyway, let's go on, because that'll be 2024.
Right, yeah. 1991 then. Top answer for me, top answer. Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, followed up by Terminator 2, Judgment Day. The Undiscovered Country I threw in there, Star Trek. And the film I wouldn't see,
Ooh.
Hook. I don't
Can
like
I
Hook.
Can I just say you're missing a film here?
Yeah, well, hang on. Before you do
Hot
that.
Hot Shots come out in that year.
I've only just rewatched it. Give me a break, you bitch.
See,
right, go
not
on.
Only have you missed
what,
Hot
have
Shots,
you, down?
You put Hook. As a no thanks.
I watched it today.
I don't like it.
It's on repeat on the Sky Movies channels at the moment. I literally watched it before I come out.
Constant
it was on while we were eating tea.
Constant joke as well online, which I think is hysterically funny and true. Wait, you all call me Hook? You call me Hook because I had my hand cut off and I have a hook. My dad died. Do you want to call me Captain No Dad as well?
If you like.
So, yeah. No, I've never... really liked Hook. It's never gelled with me. And I know it's meant to be a brilliant film. My wife loves it. My Kay loves it to bits. I just don't like it.
If it had any other actor other than Robin Williams, it would not be a good film.
100% agree.
He makes
Julia Roberts as well as Tinkerbell. I think that was A-list.
Yeah, but it needs Robin Williams.
Yeah.
Well, let's face it, she'd been a hooker the year before, so she's ended up in a film where she's wearing a skimpy outfit. She's fucking used to it, though.
She needed to do her,
So yours is...
7-8-2.
Yeah.
And Hot Shots and Bill and Ted.
Yeah, I can't believe I missed Hot Shots on that. But, again, it was a really hard choice, because actually The Undiscovered Country for me, for Star Trek-wise, is a really good Star Trek film. Terminator 2, again, really solid film. And then Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, I could just watch that over and over again.
Yeah,
they're just fun films for me that I know I can throw on and I will enjoy it if it's playing.
Very fun films, but for me, Terminator 2 comes top.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Fair
and
enough.
That's on both your lists, so...
Yeah, I'm not going to argue that. I'm not going to be downtrodden on the fact that came in. Okay, and 92. For your wife... Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, Terminator 2, An American Tale, Five All Goes West.
I can't believe she chose that film.
American Tale.
I hate that Five All. I absolutely hate it. And she's right. She watches that whenever it's on. It's not really on anymore.
Yeah.
And I said to her the other day, that's the one that's got the porno picture in the background, isn't it?
No, that is...
That's most Disney films.
That's The Rescuers.
Oh, it's The Rescuers. Okay, I thought it was that.
Rescuers is a great film, and so is the sequel.
Is it?
Rescuers Down Under.
Yeah, the first Rescuers isn't bad, actually. I've only seen it a handful of times, but I wouldn't say anything bad against it. Okay, 1992 then. Wayne's World, top for me. Followed by The Fugitive, and then Falling Down. And no thanks.
No, you're in the wrong
Surf
year.
Surf Ninja. Oh, am I?
Wayne's World, Universal Soldier, Sister Act.
Oh, Sister Act, sorry. And then Honey, I Blew Up the Kids as the no thanks.
Wow, we've got very different ones.
Well... let me start with the no thanks, because Honey, I Blew Up the Kids is blatantly just a money earner for the franchise, and it was terrible.
It's not a good film.
No.
Sister Act, just amazing fun. Universal Soldier, really good. Nowhere near the quality of the Terminator films. And let's face it, they're kind of a similar idea, as in cyborg, robot kind of doing terrible things. But Wayne's World, it speaks to me. It kind of especially speaks to... me attempting to be kind of a rock person when I was younger.
This was one of the hardest years, as long as same with 1999. A lot of stuff happened in 1999. And I've gone with Reservoir Dogs.
Oh.
Now, it's... I don't... It comes close to being the thinking film, putting air quotes, but I can watch that constantly, Reservoir Dogs. It's one of my favourite films.
I've never seen it.
Well, oh, I'll lend you the DVD.
Okay, yeah, you need to watch it.
Because it is so good, Reservoir. Honestly, it's absolutely fantastic.
It is well,
as long as you like Tarantino, it is a Tarantino film, if you know
it's
what I'm talking about.
It's the most Tarantino of Tarantino films.
That and Pulp Fiction are like the Tarantino films.
But it's kind of up there with Top Gun. It's always been on my list to watch, but I've just never got round to it.
And I like to say my extras are Aladdin. As a Disney film, what a great Disney film Aladdin is. Come on.
Yeah.
Again, Robin Williams makes that film. I've got Wayne's World. Batman Returns.
Nice.
Death Becomes Her.
So I'm just looking here. Your wife has got Death Becomes Her as the top list, followed by A Few Good Men, Dracula, and Alien Cubed. She's put Alien 3 on there. And I'm honestly a little upset
Alien
by this.
Alien 3. Alien 3 was only good because it continued the mythos. The film itself was not brilliant.
Having gone back and watched it again, it's not as bad as I first ever kind of labelled it, having watched it the first time.
No, it introduced Ellen Ripley being impregnated by the aliens. It had the dog alien, which completely changed the whole thing. First introduction of a different type of alien in film.
It was doing that phrase that we like to say last week, jump in the shark. I felt like Aliens 3 was...
Yeah.
Yeah, fair. I agree with that, actually. You know, yeah, absolutely.
But come on, Death Becomes Her. I know I didn't
Death
put it
Becomes
first,
Her
but what
is such a film.
Is.
Bruce Willis, Goldie Hawn, and I can't think of the third one. But what a film. Just the constant bitching through the film is just wonderfully
such
done.
A good film,
the stupid
isn't it?
Injuries they end up with. It is. I'm almost tempted to say maybe we should just agree Death Becomes Her should win that one.
I mean, that and Aladdin. That Aladdin is such, but for the Meryl piece, for the game,
Meryl Streep.
For the computer game, Aladdin.
Yeah. See, I think with Aladdin, it's been killed for me recently because Kay was obsessed with the remake of it, and I hated the remake of it. I just thought, why are you doing this to us, Disney?
I kind of thought it was okay, but
it's not needed.
I won't watch it now because of
okay. So Death Becomes Her. Agreed?
Yeah,
I think Death Becomes Her is the one we should have wrote.
All right, and for 93, I can see... I mean, you can probably just stop right there for me.
So 93, first of all, no thanks, Surf Ninjas. And if anyone's ever watched Surf Ninjas...
Never heard of it.
It's terrible.
There's only one answer to 93.
It has to be. And if you got it wrong, you're in trouble.
It's Demolition Man.
did you not see that one coming?
No, I did, but...
I don't care what he has on his list. It's a load of BS.
Jurassic Park is not BS.
Demolition Man is better than Jurassic Park.
Okay, well, hang on. Look. Jurassic Park, Jurassic Park, The Fugitive, Falling Down.
Jurassic Park, Demolition Man, Jurassic Park, The Last Action Hero.
Last Action Hero. Ooh, it's a very different list. I like it.
There is a very different list.
So we kept mine secret.
We're going to then go with your wife here. The Fugitive, Last Action Hero, Mrs. Doubtfire.
I mean, to be fair, Mrs. Doubtfire is a banger. I would watch that if it was on.
Yeah, for me...
Yeah, no,
again,
I would.
Again, Robin Williams is at it again.
See, Jurassic Park. Again. Jurassic Park. Wow. Classic. I do watch it all the time. But then you introduce the Three Seashells and Simon Phoenix, and it's like, oh. Yeah.
I think they're both quite strongly integrated into pop culture, both of them.
Yes.
They just don't put Demolition Man on television. They just don't do it.
It's not done enough. It's nowhere done enough.
So I don't think that...
I'm going to pick, for Demolition Man just for the way he wipes his ass in the film by swearing at him. Yeah.
I think there's probably not much younger than us who would never have heard of it.
You're right. And it's just one of those films that has to be watched at some point. It is pure 90s, even though we discussed it previously in an episode where we were saying it felt like an 80s film, but it's not. It is a 90s film, early 90s, granted. But I'm not upset if Demolition Man wins. So if you want to say Demolition Man wins,
but Jurassic Park, I mean, they're so joint for me.
Yeah.
But I've seen Jurassic Park so many times. If they're both on TV today, I would pick Demolition Man.
Jurassic Park was the first film that I remember seeing with my mum at the cinema. So I love Jurassic Park, but... As we've spoken before on this very show, Demolition Man, we know where that lives.
Was your first naughty film.
It was my first naughty film. Yeah.
And yeah, you know, it's not a bad choice. It wasn't on my list because, as we've already said, some years had just way, 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 way too many films to choose from.
Can I say, what did Miranda put for that one?
Miranda put Death Becomes Her, A Few Good Men, Dracula and Alien. Oh, no, sorry, we're on 93, aren't we?
Yeah.
Fugitive, Last Action Hero, and Mrs. Doubtfire.
She does like Fugitive. Can I say the next year, though? I've chose three films next year, and I don't know what's first.
Well, this is exactly what I was just looking at. And I was partly thinking, why did I put that first when I look at the film I put in third place? And it must just be purely an emotion thing. On the day that you're writing it, how you're feeling must play massively into this. I mean, we'll go for, let's say, 94 anyway. The film that I wouldn't watch again, Four Weddings and a Funeral. I hate that film with a passion. Everyone tells me it's so funny. And then they put on The Voice. And it's like, it's so funny, you have to watch. Oh, and I'm just thinking, genuinely, fuck off. I'm not saying it in a charming British accent. I'm saying, fuck off.
I'd never seen it till it was getting repeated on television all the time. I'm not really interested in it.
It's Hugh Grant, isn't it? Brain.
Is this not reason enough why we think it's not the best film of the year when you and I don't even know who the actors are who are in it?
It's not a good start, is it, really?
No.
Oh, God, come on. I'm trying to Google this as quickly as I can. It is Hugh Grant. I knew it was bloody Hugh Grant. And I just don't find Four Weddings and a Funeral at all funny. And
Fuck a doodle doo.
Dan's back.
There you go. He's just done exactly what... But my wife made me watch it. It's like, oh, it's a really funny film. And I just sat there throughout just wanting to hurt myself. It was just... No. And...
So what year are we on?
We're 94. You're just saying we only did one before he watched it come out.
We were just saying, and by the way, if you notice that kind of Dan's disappeared and come back, it's because he does run a pub, so he has got a job. So 94, we were just saying about how the fact that we've got films and now we're wondering why have we put them in the order, because Speed, Lion King, True Lies, and the way I'm feeling today, True Lies should have probably gone top for me on that.
And they're three films that I love and should be on my list, but I didn't mention any of those.
So go on, what are yours?
Oh God, go on.
Pulp Fiction, Forrest Gump, and Interview with a Vampire.
Oh, yes, wow. Interview with a Vampire is a great film, but it's too intellectual for this conversation for me. It's so long and you have to think.
And I heard that they didn't get on. Brad Pitt and...
No, they didn't, apparently.
Didn't get on in that film.
And again, that's just going by stories I've read online. You know, those normal top 10 facts about films that you would never know.
You know, I said I was tickling the taint.
Yes.
The algorithm that came up on that day because of the Scientology stuff.
We're just going over to Miranda's for a moment. Speed in the top position, which is what I'd got, interestingly. Okay. Interview with the Vampire, Stargate, great film.
Yeah.
Not a mark on SG-1 as a TV series, though.
Mm-hmm.
And then Star Trek Generations, which I find it really hard to say bad things about Star Trek, but it's so boring.
Mm.
It was another hard year to choose from.
I think that out of those three, Pulp Fiction is my most favourite film. It's one of my favourite films of all time. These three would be in my top probably five of my favourite films of all time. These three.
Wow. True.
Why I found this so difficult. But I think Forrest Gump should actually be first because I have never turned the channel when Forrest Gump's been on.
I just find it too long. I struggle with the length of Forrest Gump.
Well, Interview the Vampire is even longer.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Forrest Gump, I like Forrest Gump, but the criteria we've pitched for today, I'm going to have to put Joints for this one. True Lies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Outrageous over-the-top action.
It's a great film.
But yeah. What I'm also noticing, between 84 and 94, Arnie has turned up most years at this point.
Oh, they used to just bang films out, didn't they?
Yeah.
Just blimey.
And if you look, Sylvester Stallone will be there as well.
Oh, of course he will be, yeah.
But yeah, my second, the joint one to go with it is Pulp Fiction because you can, what I love about Pulp Fiction is you can literally watch that film at any point. You can go halfway through. Doesn't matter. It's not in the right fucking order anyway.
Yeah.
But you can watch that film at any point and you get the
what
story.
I love about that film is that at the time, John Travolta was massive at the time. And they were really trying to push back on Tarantino for basically killing him at the beginning. Even though, actually, if you read the rest of the script, he's in the rest of the film. But it's like, to actually kill off John Travolta, one of the biggest male actors at the time.
At the time.
Right at the start of the movie, was just like, you can't do this. Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. And yeah, I'll never look at, you know, the gimp scene.
The gimp in the box.
I can't see that actor. I think he's passed away now, bless him. Who plays Marcel?
Hopefully,
Wallace.
Didn't suffocate.
Yeah, it's Marcel Wallace is the character's name, isn't it? Every film from that point, I couldn't see him in anything other than that scene.
Yeah, and actually, the more we talk about it, it's got to be Pulp Fiction because there's so many iconic moments. The suitcase with the lion.
Yeah, and she is in Picard.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, yes.
I was watching it. Trying to remember what I knew her from, and my dad.
What is she called? Pumpkin or something?
Yeah, she's called. She's got a funny name. My dad was like, "Did you notice that Pumpkin, whatever her name is, in Picard?" I was like, "Oh my god, that's what it was!" Yeah.
No, okay. You know, not on my list. It's not one that I've watched actually that many times. Probably once or twice maximum.
I've lent it to someone else, and he hasn't given it back yet.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
Dan, give it back.
No, it's my.
It's not me.
My dog trainer has it.
I don't need that. I have that.
Yeah.
Okay, 1995.
Come on.
Toy Story's top for me.
Toy Story. Yeah.
Followed by GoldenEye. Then Hackers.
Hackers.
Not going to watch Sense and Sensibility. Your wife chose Mortal Kombat, Die Hard with a Vengeance.
I can't believe she
Jumanji, chose. Good choice. and GoldenEye.
Okay, Jumanji's a good choice, but I can't believe she put that other one
Mortal
at the beginning.
She's got Kombat. Street Fighter and a movie down at some point as well.
It might be on her list because she likes that too. Yeah, we won't swap Mortal Kombat over because I can watch Mortal Kombat.
Oh, yeah.
It's so bad, it's good.
But there's a lot of other things I'll be watching instead.
Yes.
You're throwing right. at the same time.
Let me just... Toy Story has a very big place in my heart. I can vividly remember watching the adverts on TV, going to the record shop. I can't even remember what it used to be called in St. Albans. In Heritage Close, there used to be a little record shop in there.
Our Price.
No. That,
it was 2R Price.
Might have been something like Empire Records or something they may have called it. They may have stolen the name from somewhere. Yeah. And I remember going in there to try and find The Boys Back in Town, which was the song in the advert, which, funny enough, isn't actually used in the film, which was highly disappointing. I then remember my mum taking me to the cinema at Hatfield Odeon at the Galleria to see Toy Story. Yeah. We then saw it again, I think a year later, at the Auburn Arena when they used to do summer holiday films. And it's just one of those films that, it's kind of like a calming influence in a happy place for me. And that's, I could watch Toy Story any day, even though it looks terrible now compared to like the latest ones, when you realise there's just no textures involved.
Did you notice it, Andy's birthday party? They're every all child Andy. Is Andy.
Yeah.
I didn't notice.
Yeah, they're all the same kid with different clothes.
I can believe it.
But again, it was a really hard choice. GoldenEye, awesome, awesome film, especially... based on the following the kind of the game. And then Hackers, just...
I mentioned Hackers.
Over the top, stupid game, stupid film, but such a film.
GoldenEye, I put.
GoldenEye.
Fair enough.
Braveheart.
Too long and thinky for this list.
Don't like it. Good film, not for this list.
I don't ever switch. But it's a long film again.
For me...
It's one of those films that are always on really late at night and you have to stay up late to watch it. Like,
for me, GoldenEye, mainly because my dad was a massive Bond fan. Like we said, Bond was on TV every week. It was always on. Yeah. My dad's favourite one. And GoldenEye was the first proper Bond film of our generation.
Yeah. That's why it's first.
And it introduced 006, Alec Trevelyan, another 00 agent, and the first thing he does is fuck over 007, and that got me. And then the game come out. Yeah. So for me, because it's
that
all
helps,
that nostalgia,
doesn't it? Yeah, that helps with it.
But yeah, for me, it's got to be GoldenEye.
Yeah,
but Toy Story, definitely up there.
I won't argue that one because it's Toy Story just has a very specific place in my heart, so it will always win for me.
Yeah,
just like Demolition Man would always win for Rob on 93. So
Rob would move that every year he could.
Yeah, I've included it on 7 years because it was re-released several times.
I watched it every year.
1996 then. Did we do what your wife chose for 95? Yes, we did. It was embarrassing. It was Mortal Kombat.
Right, come on.
1996 then. Star Trek First Contact, Space Jam, Independence Day, and I'm never watching the Sergeant Bilko film. Having grown up with parents that watched the original Phil Silver show, the Black and White show, with Phil Silvers, funny enough, who plays Bilko. Steve Martin gave up acting for a large number of years because of Sergeant Bilko and realising what he had done. So that should give you an idea of how much of a lemon that was.
I mean, First Contact's on my list, but it's not first. First is The Birdcage.
I've never watched it.
Now, I've only watched it in the last few years because my friend Carrie brought it for me for Christmas. So... I didn't see it for a long time. Maybe only like 3 or 4 years ago I saw it. Woof. It's so funny. It's absolutely hilarious. And okay, I know the criteria is if it was on telly. I've never seen it on telly other than DVD. So I couldn't say I'd swatch it over because I've literally only ever seen it when I put it on DVD.
But the criteria isn't about it being on telly. It's just it would be a film that if it was on TV or if you were just randomly picking from a shelf, you'd go, stick it in.
I would never turn that over. It's too funny. It's so funny. And again, it's Robin Williams again. Yeah. But I've also put Mission Impossible.
So that's interesting. I kind of understand where you're coming from that. But the first time I watched Mission Impossible, I was disappointed and I was bored with it. It wasn't until the second or third time I ran through with it and realised what it was trying to do and not be just this all-out amazing action film on top of everything.
Yep.
That kind of made me think there is more to this.
I think it probably was getting written off because they were trying to be... Bond when he's not trying to be a James
no,
Bond.
No, he's
something completely different.
He's got gadgets that make sense. Whereas at that point, we talked about GoldenEye, we've got laser watches, we've got all that stuff. So that's when James Bond started going really, he started going into visible cars and shit. Whereas
when they went too far, yeah.
Mission Impossible is just the face thing, I still don't think is great. But that's kind of what it is. The face changing thing is like kind of integral to to the film.
Now, but, I'm just going to actually say, your wife's thrown in a couple of spanners here.
Mm-hmm.
She's got Mission Impossible, she's got Star Trek First Contact, good choices. She's then got the Frighteners in there.
Ooh.
Yeah, I like the Frighteners, but it didn't just...
It didn't make my list either.
I don't think it'll make my list, but it's a good film.
Broken Arrow.
Yeah, Broken Arrow is a really good movie.
It is a really good film. And I think that one, it would have fallen in fourth or fifth for me if I'd had a fourth or fifth spot.
Yeah, same. Yeah, that was a great film. And you can watch it over and over again.
Yeah.
For me, out of these so far, Independence Day.
Yeah, I got to say, actually,
it's your third, but for me...
Yeah, that's fair
enough. You're right, though. Independence Day, in the whole grand scheme of it, it's got an actor in it I don't want to watch anymore. I would watch it a lot.
Now, what's interesting, I would say, about Independence Day is I still love it. Don't get me wrong. Going back and watching it now, I find it that tad too long. I just find it, maybe it drags its feet in a couple of bits that actually it doesn't need to.
I can see that, yeah.
And that's another one. Me and my mum went and saw that at the cinema together at good old Hatfield Odeon.
Yeah.
She came to some wonderful films with me. I don't know why she did. She came and saw Men in Black as well with me. Okay, look, 96, done. I'm happy with that. Yeah. 97, let's go with what your wife put first here. Air Force One, Con Air, Event Horizon, and Anastasia.
Oh, she's got two of my all-time favourites there.
Some good films on there. Now, Anastasia's a bit of a zinger. But the
97 is a zinger. Nice. I hope she doesn't actually listen to this episode.
She doesn't listen.
She's going to hate you. Okay, 97, Men in Black, top for me, followed by The Fifth Element. Then I've got Starship Trooper here, Starship Troopers, and I will not watch Titanic again. I can't stand Titanic
you
with a passion.
You have missed one of the greatest films ever created. Austin Powers came out in 1990.
Yeah, it was on my list, but I've actually found it hard rewatching it, and I don't know why. I loved it the first when it came out and when I watched it, but the older I've got, the less I've watched it, and I don't know. It's, yeah.
I mean, Event Horizon's on my list as well.
Event Horizon was in the top four or five for
and
me.
And then Starship Troopers. And I think really, it's for me, it's actually between Starship Troopers and Austin Powers.
Starship Troopers, boobies.
Yeah. Denise Richards,
some
boobies.
Good boobs in Starship Troopers.
Yeah, so right, for me...
There's some great boobs in Austin Powers.
that's true.
Yeah, he's got some pretty good...
Is it the first film that there's boob cannons?
Yeah.
That no, same? That's right at the end, Britney Spears' boob tits come out,
no,
and then it goes
at
into the
end
second
of
film.
The first
no, they
one.
Get married, don't they?
Yeah.
And then Fembots.
Yeah, Fembots. Yeah, she turns into Fembot and boob cannons come out.
Boob cannons in the first one.
The end of the first
one. Is it Heather Graham turns into one at the start of the second film?
Yeah.
Maybe the start of the second one, yeah.
Yeah.
He wakes
who is
up.
It, who is it in the first one? What's the actress in the first one? What's her name again?
Oh,
I'm sure it's Heather Graham.
It's not Hurley in the first one, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, it's Liz Hurley. Liz Hurley. Oh, yeah. Okay. Liz Hurley into... Right.
Right, so 97 then, Dan. You need to make a choice there for us, please.
I will never turn off Starship Troopers. The book is so much better, but the film was good. But Event Horizon is such an underrated film for me.
I was telling Rob about this. I would build a time machine, if I could, to go back to that cutting room floor and get the director's cut, which was apparently, by the BBFC, refused a rating until it was heavily redacted and changed.
I mean,
I want to know what was in that film to make that happen.
Yeah, but this is back in the days when people used to run out of the cinemas going mad because there's horror
no,
films.
No, but
and stuff.
Again, if you read the stories online, it suggested that even the director said some of the stuff we put in there, even I agree, we probably shouldn't have had in there.
Yeah, but I want to see that version.
Yeah, I want to see that version, but apparently there are none in existence. It was properly destroyed.
Hopefully, like the lost episodes of Doctor Who that randomly turn up sometime. Well,
you never know. So, so what was your choice for Starship Troopers for boobs?
Yeah, but Event Horizon is a second because I will always watch that film. I think it's very underrated, very fantastic film. If you've not seen it, go and watch it.
Yeah, okay. And 98, again, I'm screwed up here because it's a thinking film there. Truman Show at the first point.
Oh, I didn't put that, but you're right. Yeah.
But it's a thinking film. But then I've got Small Soldiers and Basketball, and I'm not going to watch Deep Impact again.
Small Soldiers should be on my list because that's a fantastic
Small film. Soldiers is a bloody
I've got
brilliant
three films
film.
You haven't mentioned. Saving Private Ryan.
Thinking
Lock,
film.
And Two Smoking Barrels.
Oh,
not a thinking film.
Blade.
Yeah, okay.
Blade.
I like Blade. I would put Blade in maybe the top 10 for that year because there was a lot for that year and the next year, like you've already said.
Right. This is a tough one. I'm thinking.
God, how many did your wife put for this episode, for this year?
Go on, go. What's she
Small
got?
Soldiers, Rush Hour. Ever After, A Cinderella Story, Mulan, Mercury Rising, Star Trek Insurrection should be forgotten about, and Hard Rain. Star Trek Insurrection, as I've forgotten where I've heard it, is Star Trek if you want to be horny. That's just horny Trek. Hard Rain is a really good film, and barely anyone I know has ever seen it. I know it's a little rat boy, but... Who also turns up in a Star Trek film is amazing. He's like a one-off little walk-in, walk-off role on... It might be... Is it Wrath of... No, it's not Wrath of Khan. It's the one... It might be Undiscovered Country, actually, where they don't kill. The Klingons are assassinated. He walks into the room, gives his orders over and walks out again.
Yeah.
So 98 then, Truman Show, Small Soldiers, Basketball, Deep Impact. And what were your choices again, Rob?
Saving Private Ryan, Lock, Stock and Blade.
Yeah, so...
I don't know, I kind of feel like Small Soldiers is really bloody good though.
See, Small Soldiers is my choice in that just because it's the only time I've ever been invited to do it. I went to pre-screenings, do you know where they did test audiences?
Yeah.
So for me, that film's always a special place in my heart. So it's Small Soldiers.
Yeah, it's a good film.
And it stands the test of time even now.
I'll be honest, 1998 me crushed on Kirsten Dunst in that film.
Yeah.
Yeah, to be fair. But then 99, your
this
top one,
tough.
TJ.
So 99 is a really tough year. Let's go to your wife quickly on this one. The Mummy, American Pie, Green Mile, The Matrix, Never Been Kissed, Sleepy Hollow, Double Jeopardy.
She can pick, yeah. She's got
really
so,
good
yeah.
choice films in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, there's so many.
But 99, I had to go with Galaxy Quest because... Oh, having rewatched that again recently, I keep forgetting how good that
Alan
film
Rickman.
Is. South Park, Bigelow and Uncut. Blast from the Past, if you've never watched it, is a genius, genius Brendan Fraser film. And I'm never, ever going to watch Notting Hill.
Oh, that's a bit unfair. Notting Hill's a really good film. It's not on my list, but Notting Hill's a good film. It's one of the only rom-coms I actually enjoy other than Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think my first place is a hot take, particularly from my friend Stiddy. Star Wars: The Phantom Menace.
And you upset me again
because
today.
I love that film.
Me's not impressed.
I saw it at the cinema when it came out, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah,
it's the problem people find is. You can enjoy something and then you get taken down the negative route with everyone else and you just end up joining in with what people say. Mm. It's not a bad film. It's not as good as the first three, but then again, I'm one of the few, I don't know. The original, so 4, 5, 6, I think are the most boring fucking films that have got an okay story.
Yeah.
But I like them because they've got lightsabers and decent spaceships. I think the films are boring, and the modern three that Disney have done that people seem to absolutely hate, I really enjoy because they threw a lot of action, a bit of comedy in there, and they're still cool spaceships.
I want to say about the three trilogies is what I used to say to my friend Steve all the time, because he loves the original three. He's got his surname tattooed on his arm in the Star Wars language.
Yep.
He builds droids with the people that make, his friends make the droids for some of the films.
Nice.
He's in with them, right? And he hates those, the one, two, and three. You know, Phantom Menace. And
yeah.
And I always used, and it was kind of a running joke between us that Phantom Menace was my favourite out of all of the Star Wars films, because he hated it so much. And I was always saying to him, like, but it's not your Star Wars. Your Star Wars are the three that came out first.
Exactly.
These three are aimed at me, my generation, because I'm kind of in between the, and kind of you technically are as well. We're kind of...
We are. I only got introduced to the original trilogy because I got bought them one Christmas by an aunt on VHS.
They were all out on VHS in gold by the time I'd seen any of them. They'd all been remastered
yes.
the first week by the time I'd ever seen. So I'd never seen...
Thankfully, I saw the remaster, not the remaster with bad CGI and fireworks.
No, so I saw the remaster that they did. I call it gold because they were gold VHSs.
Yes.
Yeah, they were the first ones I ever saw of it. I've since seen the ones before that, but way later.
Yeah.
So for me, my generation of Star Wars is... Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones, those three.
There were brilliant things from the original trilogy. That trilogy that you're talking about. I liked the droid, the robots, Roger, whatever they're called.
Roger.
I like the design.
Are they called Droidica? No.
Battle droids.
Battle droids.
Droidica's the other one.
Then the rolling battle droid, I really like the idea of. Mr. Double lightsaber, I can't think of his name.
Darth Maul was one of the greatest baddies.
The robot general.
Yeah.
General Grievous.
Grievous, that's it.
I mean, it's so good. It's a really good trilogy.
The thing is, people just need to pull their finger out and say, if you enjoy it, then I'm going to leave you alone. And we talked about this when it came to Star Trek. If you enjoy Discovery, enjoy Discovery. Yeah,
the biggest
just
problem...
Just don't be a dick.
Yeah, the biggest problem with the prequel trilogy was the scripting. Because some of the lines they had them say... Hayden Christensen is a brilliant actor, and some of the lines he got made to say was just cringe-worthy.
But then, like, the newer three was, I enjoyed them, but I also understand those three aren't aimed at me. They're aimed at the people younger than me to get them into Star Wars.
Correct. And I'd say, actually, if you look at the modern Disney stuff, I've not watched any of the TV series, granted.
The TV series are really good.
But the three films I really enjoyed. Solo, A Star Wars Adventure, wasn't blown away by. Mm. But Rogue One...
Fantastic.
...was a really solid film.
Rogue One, I feel like, is a film aimed at the people that liked the original three. The same with The Mandalorian is aimed at the people that, those people that are in the particular mindset of really liking the first three. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know where I'm coming from with it? So, yeah.
Proper Star Wars.
We're getting.
So
well
I don't. I'm 1999. I am not going to ask for anyone to put a winner on this one because it was such a huge year for films. Go for it.
Fight Club, The Mummy, American Pie, and The Matrix.
Yeah, and your wife put a load of those as well.
There's too many films this year. There isn't a winner.
You can't choose a winner.
Not in this year.
Depends on mood of him, but I will always put American Pie on because they'll never make a film quite like that again. They would not be allowed.
Especially the one with the actual pie when they don't cut that out.
Yeah.
It's just hilarious. Last one.
Okay, year 2000. Last one because we are coming up to 2 hours of an episode, I believe.
Bloody hell. Right, let's go.
Unbreakable. A weird one because I only watched this one somewhat recently. Titan AE, Pitch Black, and I'm not watching Gladiator.
Okay, so I love Gladiator, first off, but it's a very long film.
Yes.
Titan AE, I didn't really like it when I saw it originally. I haven't seen it any time.
I kind of rewatched it after a Twitter suggestion, and I actually really enjoyed it. But it doesn't beat Unbreakable for me.
Unbreakable.
Bruce Willis, Unbreakable.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really good.
That entire trilogy is. I don't care. People say the third film was right. I loved all three of them.
You have to like all the films to like the third one.
The third one is on my list further down.
Good.
So you didn't mention either of mine.
Okay.
Snatch, which is a great film. And Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Oh, yes.
See, I don't like Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? I never got into it. And there's very few Guy Ritchie films I've actually ever watched.
So Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? I listen to the soundtrack of it because I think it's fantastic.
Fair enough. And I've heard that before.
Yeah, Guy Ritchie. I mean, I think I'd like his films, really.
No, well, that's just, that, but this is the whole point of this entire exercise, isn't it? To prove that actually, whether or not two people are similar, I mean, it turns out me and Rob are actually incredibly similar, how we were brought up and the things we like. But it's still then very interesting to see that actually, for two people that are very similar, that they can dislike something like a film that the other one likes.
And I'll tell you now, just from these things, for mine, Snatch, I'll always put that on.
Yeah, fair enough. And very quickly looking at your wife's choice, Gladiator, and for some reason she chose Mission Impossible 2.
Which is better than this first Mission Impossible.
That's a really difficult thing to say.
Because I really like Mission Impossible 2, but it's not better.
When I watched Mission Impossible 1, I then went and saw Mission Impossible 2 when it came out. And I would say at that age, I absolutely agree, especially as I was big, big, big Metallica fan. And I Disappear, I think, was a good tune. Think it deserved to be in place of Limp Bizkit's tune that they used as the main theme, but that's my my ideas. If I look at the two films now, Mission Impossible 1 in my brain is a better film than the second one. For story alone, it's Mission Impossible 1. If you want to go full on action and set what pieces. Happens and everything, 2 absolutely wins it.
It's got better hair in 2.
Oh, God, well, yeah. Okay, you know what, guy? We are coming up to the 2-hour point. If not, actually, we've probably gone past the 2-hour point. I don't know how I'm going to edit this inside of the time period that we've got. I mean, so, I'm sorry, but you're not getting a. You're not getting.
No,
what,
I'll bring that in next time.
You can bring
that
in
next
time.
Week.
So, Rob, what is next week's episode?
So, next week's episode is the closest episode that we can record before your birthday. So,
yay.
I'm saying that we should do a TJ birthday special, and it's all going to be about stuff that you enjoy, so we'll talk about it on the way up.
Nice.
And
okay,
I've got a surprise for you.
Ooh.
Have a little game. So next week is the Tom's birthday special. How old are you going to be?
I'm going to be 39.
39, knocking on the door of the big four.
Yeah. Be quiet, you.
And the
you're
funny,
going to be there sooner.
The funny thing is, I don't actually celebrate birthdays. I don't really get... Christmas is what I celebrate. Birthdays, I don't give a monkey's about. But
sorry, mate.
My wife is very much
Christmas
the other way
around.
Christmas
is a birthday too. Of our Lord and Saviour.
No, stop.
Just all right, do an advert for your stupid pub.
You aren't going to get an advert at this rate.
We can do an advert next time.
No, go on, advert for the pub then, Dan.
So yeah, The Boot in Salisbury is my pub. It's where we record the podcast, play board games. Everyone's welcome to come down. Keep an eye out for when we advertise board game days where everybody can come down. And who knows, let's do a public podcast one time so people can come down and
what's your
view.
Facebook?
It's The Boot Salisbury. Follow that.
Absolutely. And we will also try and post a video of the four of us, another friend of ours that we play HeroQuest, of us playing HeroQuest here at the pub. So you can see kind of what those board games look like as well. Rob, can you do our social meads, please?
So you can follow us, or TJ and I.
Sorry, social meads.
On Tom Twitter at @channel84. And you can follow me at @flatrob. Our Facebook page, the Channel 84 Variety Show, Instagram, _channel84, our website, where you can find us blogging about all interesting things, channel84.co.uk. Email us, please, at podcasts@channel84.co.uk. And also, you can share it to everybody, a podcast link of pod.link/channel84.
Well saved, because I was literally reading, why are we giving out the pod.link/channel84 when you're already listening to the podcast?
It's a share.
Yeah, so share that, please. Share. Really nice. Kind of apologies for this being such a long episode. The next episode won't be as long, and the second half of this one will not be as long either. We will organise a date to do the second half of this. It'll be in a few weeks' time, I would imagine. So don't expect it immediately.
My list.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's not a bad idea, actually. I like that. That just kind of leaves us to say goodbye. Rob, love you.
Love you, darling.
Oh, I love you all, guys.
We love you too. Take it easy, everyone, and goodbye.